Thursday in New York City. The Northeast is starting to feel the effects of fall. Beautiful day here. Hopefully, no matter where you are, internationally, West Coast, middle of this great country, it's a great day as well. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. 888-874-4888 is our toll-free number. Have a lot of issues to discuss today, so jot down that number. 888-874-4888. This time of year is very, very busy for me as I speak to schools about a lot of different vital topics. Anti-bullying, which is going to be a hot topic in today's show. First half and second half. There's something that took place in Sayreville, New Jersey that is actually unspeakable. It almost made me ill when I read about it. Also, drugs and alcohol, overcoming adversity, mental health, navigating obstacles, celebrating differences. Big time of the year. So October is the busiest for me because two important dates happen in October. Actually, three. Besides National Bullying Prevention Month, which is huge. And that's one of the things, of course, we're covering today underneath that umbrella. Even if it wasn't observed this month, it's still very prevalent. Two big announcements we'll be talking about. But more so, Pride Week and Week of Respect. Pride Week and Week of Respect are two different weeks that are pretty much mandated by most of the states across our nation by the government so students can understand more about the world we live in, the community we live in, and the schools where they hopefully are treated very fairly among their peers. But if not, they have people like myself come in and speak about their experience. Hopefully the speakers. I like to think that all the speakers that are out there that I align myself with have experienced, and I don't like to say have experienced bad things because who wishes bad things to other people? But there's nothing like whatever you do in this world to speak from experience. Sure, initials after your name sound great and they make you pretty well versed in a particular field or industry. But to experience something, there's nothing like that. So the speakers that I'm out there with, I hope they are speaking from the heart and telling students, you know, what exactly they experienced, how they changed their lives, whether reaching out to a person of authority, maybe hitting rock bottom, whether it was with drugs or alcohol. And this is audience specific now. It could be a college audience, older audience as well. But there are a lot of topics. So those two different dates, Week of Respect, really open the eyes for students to understand that the world we live in, even in this particular country, is really quite diverse. It's a, you know, varied tapestry of colors and cultures, morals and beliefs, and what you think, what you do, and how you act is not the end-all be-all. There are so many different people with different beliefs, respectfully, and you have to understand that and embrace that. Because how vanilla and how boring would it be if we all thought, walked, talked, and drove and lived in the same color, house, et cetera, et cetera. Wah, wah, pass on that. You know, we can move to other countries for treatment of that nature. We live in a democracy here where we embrace this ability to be different and outspoken or not be outspoken, be private. It's up to you, man. So that Week of Respect is pretty cool. So I explain to students about, hey, I'm in an interracial marriage. My wife is Indian, first generation from India. Her parents are arranged marriage origin. And moved over to the United States, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. And so my wife was born here. So one of the first things, this is actually pretty funny, one of the first, actually the first meeting of my father-in-law, who wears a turban, he's Sikh. He said to me, wow, Mark, you're pretty tall. He goes, how tall are you? And I said, and this just came out of my mouth. I swear to you, I had no intention to make a joke of his religion or my lack of or whatever. But I said to him, with or without my turban? So to this day, 9 years later, actually it was more than 9 years, probably about 13 with the dating process on top of the marriage years. But it was really, really a funny ice-breaking moment. So and thankfully, my father-in-law, Mike, has a very good sense of humor. But to that day, we still laugh about that. And I tell that story because it's a great way to show, number one, that humor is a good level playing field, right? Why not? Inject some levity. Of course, situation appropriate. But that's one example, and I have numerous examples of how we are all different. And we have to assimilate, or do we? You know, my children are half Irish and half Indian, so we call them Irindian. they look pretty fair-skinned. They don't look like they're half Indian. My wife doesn't even look like she's Indian. She's pretty fair-skinned. And just like any culture of Irish, I'm Irish, but I'm not completely pale. Thank God. But I do get a lot of freckles. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. But it kind of opens students' eyes about who they are, their environment, their community, expectations, fair treatment of others. That's Week of Respect. Pride Week. Now we're talking about LGBT, really understanding everyone's sexual preferences, their origin, culture, a little combination of the Pride Week and Week of Respect. And it's very vital that schools embrace this because at such a young age, students are exposed to, I mean, unless you're very, very fortunate to travel and have the liberty and luxury to have your children go abroad, or even domestically, but into a place that's unlike your own and what you're accustomed to, they're really not exposed to much diversity, unless you live in an urban environment. But then again, it could be limited to just maybe a few races. So it's a great way to expose and open the eyes of children, to let them know what the world is like out there, and to not be so judgmental. Even if we are judgmental, hey, listen, I judge books by their cover all the time. I'm sorry, it's innate. I can't turn it off. But what I don't do is let the initial judgment sugarcoat or taint and or allow myself to react to my initial thought. I treat everybody the same way, like the way I want to be treated, with fairness, dignity, respect. And then, if you're an a-hole, I'll treat you like an a-hole. I mean, that's fair enough, right? You know? What's the expression? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, shame on me. So that's the way it is in a nutshell. But it's great to see that it's being widely accepted out there. And also the programs that I speak about, overcoming adversity. You know, there's so much adversity in this world. We all have it in our families. Financial struggles, marriage. And these are fallouts that the kids have to endure. And it actually rears its head in very ugly ways. So it's great for kids to understand that most people, the majority of people, have problems, whether they know it or admit it or not. It's ubiquitous. So to go out there when I air all my history about being visually impaired, not being able to read chalkboards in school, testing really below average, feeling really like I didn't fit in because I didn't fit in. You know, and that actually started a whole, and I carved this whole story out. This started a whole lifestyle for me where I felt like an outsider. Because if I work for a corporation or a 9-to-5 job, I just really feel like a caged animal because I feel like I never was able to fit in the system. And listen, I'm not talking badly about schools or corporations. They work for a lot of people, and God bless them. Because, you know, what if we all could only do one thing or couldn't do one thing? I just can't fit in there because I wasn't able to, be aligned, conform to traditional environments and programs just because my disability didn't allow me to do so. So then I carved a niche for myself that made me happy and made me stand out. So I did get noticed, you know, by my parents that were divorced and look for other ways of being accepted since I wasn't able to do sports. So all these stories really translate well to students that are either involved with programs that are mainstream or not because they can't for various reasons or just don't want to do it but feel like they have to do it. It's pressure. So I'm really happy to hear that My phone's ringing still. That's good. And the programs certainly get good reviews. And I really appreciate that when superintendents come up to me and say, wow, we want you to speak to all our schools in our system. And if you do care to have me speak at your school, K through 12, college, et cetera, corporation, just go onto my website, markfarrellmotivation.com. Farrell spelled like Colin Farrell. No, I do not have his money. And if I was sitting on his wallet, I'd probably be a bit taller right now. Planning to die. Well, I guess we're all mortal, right? Yeah. But and sorry, you know what? I'm sorry. I got to preface this further conversation because I feel like it's going to be kind of a downer today. But it's just this week has been a bit of a downer news. I mean, Ebola is just everywhere. Everywhere you go, turn on, listen, read. It's just you can't help it. But there are a lot of other depressing topics we're going to cover today. And I promise to try to keep them as light as possible, man. But, you know, I read about this story today and I just got to tell you that I had to bring it to you because it's a story of bravery and also conviction. And I embrace this woman's choice to make her own decision. A 29-year-old, Brittany Maynard, was diagnosed earlier this month with terminal brain cancer. Imagine hearing those three words across the desk from a physician. You have terminal brain cancer. Whew. No cure. So there is some treatment available that I guess would allow her less pain, etc., whatever the case may be, for the very limited time that she has left. But she decided to forego this. 29 years old, making this decision. Married 1 year ago. So she said, you know what, the hell with that. I'm going to take whatever time I have left, which is less than 4 weeks, to end it my way, on her own terms. So she upped her family from California, and she moved to Oregon. And Oregon's, I think, one of five states with a Death with Dignity Act. That would have been an interesting congressional roundabout table conversation. Death with Dignity Act. Let's call it that. So Brittany decided to move there, and she uprooted her whole family because obviously they love her and support her, and I'm sure they're just completely beside themselves with emotions and feelings, etc. But this will allow her to end her life with a prescribed lethal injection. Now, I'm not going to get into specifics about who administers what and all that jazz. It's kind of irrelevant right now. But I just kind of applaud her because we've all had conversations. I imagine most of us have either thought about it and maybe articulated it to others. Like, if you know you were going to die, what would you do? In 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, would you ride it out? Would you go for treatment? If you could live, you know, a nice, fairly comfortable life for 30, 60, 90 days and maybe whatever it is, hang out with your family, take them on a cruise, who knows? Stay home and eat bonbons and watch CSI reruns, whatever it takes to make you happy, man. I don't know. Donate all your money to charity and see the fruition of the impact on charitable organizations, whatever the case may be. But that would be your decision. And Brittany's decision is to wait till November 1st. And this is the kicker. This is what's going to make you reach for the tissue box. She's waiting until that day because that's her husband's birthday. Whew, man, it's got chills thinking about that. That's pretty heavy stuff. Well, we wish all the best to Brittany Maynard's family. It's got to be really, really hard into her husband. But we take our hats off to you for doing it your way. Your volition. You're designing your destiny. And as much as most of your destiny was predetermined because of the brain cancer, terminal brain cancer, at least you're ending it on your terms. Sorry about that, Brittany, but same token, good for you. Now, from a bad, sad segue to another sad story, bullying still exists. That's right. It's not going anywhere. But I wanted to introduce to you something that's very cool that came out a few weeks ago. It's an anti-bullying app. And Samson, organization that we're going to be talking about momentarily, came up with this app along with another organization, StopBullyingNow.gov, another government organization. And I really wanted to bring this to your attention because it's the first app of its kind, and it's going to be a real icebreaker and a technological cutting-edge app I think that's really going to spearhead a lot of things to come. So I'd like right now to introduce Ingrid Donato. She's the director of the Mental Health Promotion Branch Center for Mental Health Services, Substance Abuse, and Mental Health Services, a.k.a. SAMHSA. Ingrid, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here.
You are so vivacious, Ingrid.
I know, after the lead-in with Ebola and end of life, and now we're talking about bullying. So
you probably said to yourself, I got to really dial this up. I can't be a downer.
Well, this is actually what I'm always like. So I'm so thrilled that you've had me on your show. I'm so incredibly grateful for the work that you do. So I just wanted to get that out right in the beginning. Thank you so much for your incredible advocacy work.
Hats off to you and your organization, SAMHSA. I mean, developing an app, a free app like this,
it is
just
free.
Stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for all smartphones, iPhones, and Androids, correct?
iPhones and Androids. Yep, absolutely. Completely free. They can go to the market, download it, and be ready to go.
So I imagine for quite some time, you and your colleagues and peers were scratching your head saying, okay, this is something that wasn't exactly probably in your purview at first because it's mental health and substance abuse, but they are all closely linked.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Because they all impact each other. And then you decided, okay, how are we going to, on a national level and maybe possibly internationally, tackle this? And then I guess came up with the idea because what do most people have in our hands? Smartphones.
Exactly.
Take it away, Ingrid.
Sure. Thank you. So just a little backdrop. So, yes, I work for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. We're part of the Department of Health and Human Services. We're like our sister agencies, CDC and NIH, and our charge is to advance the behavioral health of the nation, which is a pretty big charge. And so bullying, of course, is a pretty important topic that we need to address. You know, bullying isn't, you know, what we thought many years ago, just kids being kids. We know that kids who get bullied, kids who do the bullying, have pretty significant later life outcomes. It's possible, you know, increased rates of depression, anxiety, all sorts of bad things that we want to help stop. So there was a couple things that happened that really kind of put the bug in our ear to start thinking about developing this app. First, we were hearing from parents, we were hearing from teachers, we were hearing from other adults that they didn't always know what to do when they had to deal with bullying. They didn't know how to talk with the kids, they didn't know how to intervene, all those sorts of things. And we were also realizing, the research was showing us, that kids weren't always telling adults about bullying. And one of the big reasons why they weren't is because they didn't have confidence in the adults that they would know what to do. And research, you know, research after research has been showing that one of the most powerful protective factors that you can have with kids is regular, ongoing, supportive conversations with a caring adult. So all of that taken together, we thought, how can we help this? We know parents have their phones with them all the time. So we created this app, No Bullying, K-N-O-W, Bullying, as a way to have all sorts of great information right at their fingertips. So they can go on to the app, they can find out all sorts of information about how to intervene, how to support kids, how to even talk with schools, you know, how to reach out for resources if they need it, and how to have those regular conversations with their kids. And so that's kind of a little nutshell about how this app came about.
Ingrid, you know, it's very interesting. When I first read about this or heard about it, right before I read about the article, I thought that it was going to be targeted actually to students. And so maybe it would be like a taser gun. So if they felt, in my own mind, I'm like, oh, great, this is their way to strike back. Maybe a lower voltage or something like that. But it's really good because now, as a parent now who just sent his first child to kindergarten, my wife and I actually started the anti-bullying talk 2 days ago. And I don't know your background, if it's in psychology, et cetera. He's not being bullied. But we figured, let's lay the groundwork now. So we started doing role playing where I would be the bully and my wife would be the victim. And my son would be the student. I'm sorry, either a bystander or the teacher. And so we kept switching roles. And it was funny. And we did certain things like I made fun of my wife's hair or flip-flops and like all kinds of different things. and vice versa. So the message, takeaway message, is that the dialogue started, and that's exactly what you're doing with this application and making parents, because a lot of families differ in terms of either between spouses, how they should do things. Mm-hmm. So this, putting this, application in their hand, free application, no bullying application in their hand, can put them on the same page and also make it easier for them to start the dialogue.
I wish I could reach through the phone and hug you.
I'll run down to D.C. and give you a big hug.
That is wonderful. And you're really preparing your children to have that resilience to be able to overcome a lot of things, including, especially bullying, as they go through the school year. And hopefully they'll be wonderful models for their classmates as well.
Well, I think you have to. It's mm-hmm. part of your parental role. I told my kids there's three things we have to do: love you, educate you, and keep you safe.
Exactly.
That's our jobs as a mm-hmm. parent. And then when you read like a fifth of all students in grades 9 through 12 have been bullied on school
yeah.
property, you mm-hmm. realize you got to do this.
Absolutely. And those numbers aren't budging. And that was making us really nervous. And so we had to put our heads together. How are we going to step up our game? How are we going to think creatively, think outside of the box? And so we're hoping that, products like this, getting into the hands of parents and caring adults, will be useful and really help change those numbers.
And also another...
And I wanted to add one more thing,
sure,
too.
Sure.
We base a lot of this information, an app is, we try to cram as much information as possible onto the app. But as you mentioned, we have a website called stopbullying.gov that has a ton of information and a ton of resources that we've collected across the federal government and kind of put in a one-stop shopping place that parents, adults, everyone can go to and get all sorts of information about how to deal with bullying.
And it's really a paramount issue when the leader of the free world says, bullying has to be stopped and we need to really curtail mm-hmm. this now. Then this is serious. Now,
absolutely.
Talk about some of the goals of the free app. There's a communication starter ideas, mm-hmm. and this is great because it's almost like going into couples therapy. Like, people don't know how to address things. They're mm-hmm. in the mind. If you can read the bubbles over people's head, they want to do the right thing, but sometimes they just don't know how. And here's a little push you give them.
That is exactly it. So we tried to put we're all parents, so not only I'm a parent.
My condolences.
I love being fair. But I was bullied as a child. I grew up very poor. I know how it feels like. And so I tried to put myself in the role of the parent and the child who's gone through that. And what's everything that we need to do? And what do we need? What would we like parents and caretakers to know? We want to have them engage in regular conversations with their kids. Fine. How can we help that? Let's get those conversation starters. Let's get them these topics that they can start engaging with their kids that don't even seem like they're directly related to bullying, but are actually building that strong foundational communication that we want, that we're hoping to have happen. And so what do we need next? We want to make sure that parents and caretakers have those tools that they need when these hot button issues come up. So
sure.
when their child starts talking, hey, I'm getting bullied in school, they know what to do. They know, or if they're not talking about it, what are those indicators that are showing that maybe something's not quite so right with your kid that you can look through? And what do you need to do next? You need to be able to do something about it. How do you talk? How do you engage the school? How do you do that? We have links to civil rights. We have, you can go and you can find out what the state laws and policies are in your state area. So you really have a great toolkit in your hands for when you're engaging with your kids. And what if things your kid is really struggling? What are the resources that you need? We have links to find out to get hooked up with a counselor in your area, to reach out for emergency hotlines if you need it. Everything that we could possibly think of, we crammed into this app so that the parents would feel comfortable and confident
sure.
engaging in this.
And most importantly, the warning signs.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And that's something that we wanted to know, because it's the rare kid who's going to come up and say, hey, Mom and Dad, you know, I'm getting bullied at school. So we can't depend on that. You know, it's embarrassing for them that they're going to do this. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to feel worse in their parents' eyes. So we want to give the parents the tools so that they can start initiating those conversations with their kids when they see these things happen, when they see, you know, those unexplained injuries, when they see the kid not wanting to go to school, when they see, you know, complaints of, Mom, I'm having headaches, mm-hmm, I'm feeling,
sure,
I have stomach, all of those sorts of things, that could be little red flags. Does it mean that they're being bullied or they're involved in bullying? Not necessarily, but you know, it's a way, something you want to be thinking about.
My mantra is when I speak to students, whether it's students, younger students, or even high school, and sometimes even college, about mm-hmm. anti-bullying is, bullies mm-hmm. don't have the real power. You do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to make that first move of, you know, letting someone know of authority, whether even it's mm-hmm. even a peer, or just letting somebody know, because it's, there's nothing worse in this world, in your life, than living mm-hmm. in fear.
Oh, absolutely.
It's brutal.
Absolutely. And when you have that child that does want to talk, who is ready to open up, to a parent or an adult who doesn't feel that they can address it, oh, that's a lost opportunity. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, when that child does feel comfortable in opening up, that the adults around them can help.
And I also like, Ingrid, that you don't act, not you personally, the application. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're always growing and understanding more about the psychology of bullies, which mm-hmm. Sidebar here is, you know, historically always thought as someone who didn't have a lot of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more I'm reading that it's not really that case. It's more that they come from a family that really just have incredibly dominant personalities and obviously thrive on the fact they are overcoming and, you know, achieving this power. So, mm-hmm. so it's not so much, you know, of course, this is a generalization, but this is what I've been reading, that it's not the aforementioned. But social media with your app, that you encourage people to share successful strategies, which is paramount.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's complicated, you know, when you find out a child is bullying, there's a lot of things that can be involved. And you're absolutely right. There's kind of two types of kids who engage in bullying. We do have those kids that are having those issues. They are isolated from other kids, and this is their way of kind of lashing out at the world. And then we have those other kids that do have almost, you know, have a power trip from it as well. So, and then there's so many different facets that are involved in as well. What's going on in home? What's going on in their environment? What's being mirrored to them as appropriate behavior? You've completely nailed it. It's very complicated. So, you know, we care very much about the child who's being bullied. Absolutely. We don't want to forget about the kid who's doing the bullying as well, because there's something not, they need help too. And we found that for those kids who are bullying, they can have some significant later life negative outcomes too. In addition to increased rates of depression and anxiety, they also have increased rates of substance abuse, and they have higher rates of intimate partner violence. So, you know, these are big red flags that we want to make sure that when a child is younger, when they're still developing their sense of the world and their personalities, that we're getting and intervening there and getting them on the right track.
And also some of those effects can apply to the bystander who does nothing.
Absolutely. There are effects to those bystanders who are witnessing it every single day.
It's almost like survivor's guilt.
Exactly. Yep. And if you go into stopbullying.gov, there is a section on the website about being more than a bystander. And it kind of walks through some steps that that bystanders should know, because also we're learning more and more. There are negative outcomes that happen with those kids that are bystanders that are witnessing it all the time. So I'm so glad that you brought up that a very important category of kids who are out there experiencing this.
How long has this app been in the design stages?
This was based on some work that we had been doing for the past couple of years. Apps At least I found out I have never developed an app before, so these things take some time. But we've been working on it intensely for about a year and a half now, and we just launched it, as you mentioned, a few weeks ago.
And what a better time during National Prevention Bullying Month.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I love the name as well because it's a double entendre, No Bullying App, KNOW.
That's right. I love it too.
What came in as a close second?
I can't remember the
long time ago.
Runners
you just
up.
It out
yeah,
of your mind.
But there was a number of this was always my favorite, so
I like it as well.
I like it as well.
Hey, real quickly before I let you go, Ingrid, because
sure.
Obviously you're quite busy down in Washington moving and shaking and creating apps every day. Did you hear the head of the show where I mentioned I'm sure you read about this, the Sarahville incident?
Yeah.
Isn't that unfathomable?
I am following it very closely. It's really fascinating. Absolutely.
At the same time, it's repulsing.
Yeah. Yep.
It really is. So when you read about something like this, it must make you feel really good about your drive to work every day.
Exactly.
Really, because, you know, it just, this town is only about 20 minutes away from me. And you know what the worst part about this, and we're going to be covering this in the second half of my show here, is that the town is just really disenchanted that the season is canceled. I'm so sorry, town.
Oh.
That's what the fallout's been so far.
Well, I'll make sure to try to listen in as much as I can to the second part of your show.
Okay, please do. Now, SAMHSA, of course, developed this in accordance alongside with stopbullying.gov. It is called No Bullying App, and
that's
free on iTunes and where else?
On the Android market as well.
Android market as well. So download that. You know what the best thing about this is? The practicality aspect. It's on your iPhone. It's one of those things, like, you know when your computer gives you update software reminders and you keep clicking not now, not now, not now, and it gives you an option like in 5 days, 7 days, 14 days? This is going to be something that's going to be staring people right in the face on a daily basis.
I hope so. There are actually little reminders that parents can even put in there to have those conversations.
See?
Yep.
See? You're in the right business, my friend. You're going to be moving out to Silicon Valley soon.
I don't know about that.
Ingrid Donato from SAMHSA, thank you so much for all your time and for all your colleagues' tireless effort on developing such a incredible application that will hopefully serve many, many, many very well.
Thank you. And thank you so much for your work as well.
Ingrid, one more thing.
Sure.
No more caffeine for the day.
I'm actually off caffeine. So
holy Jesus. I wouldn't want to share a cubicle with you. Take care, Ingrid.
Thank you so much.
Insight will continue next on PRN.FM. And the conversation of bullying will continue right after this. How are you feeling today? Thursday's my favorite day of the week because it's the weekend is on tap. Thursday's like, in full swing. You only have one more day left until the weekend. You can make your big plans. And of course, I always appreciate and thank you for listening to PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network, with me, Mark Farrell. Show is Insight. Phone number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Certainly expect a lot of phone calls on this next topic. It's a continuation, but actually dives more into the thick of it. During National Bullying Prevention Month, wow, I just heard about this on Monday, as many of you, I'm sure, have heard about. A high school in Sarahville, New Jersey, War Memorial High School, has canceled their football season, the remaining portion of their football season, because there's a criminal investigation going on because of a huge bullying scandal. Now, when I say bullying scandal, I think it should be named. I think it's actually going to come out. Obviously, the prosecutors will disseminate more evidence once it becomes apparent they've interviewed a lot of people. But there was so much wrongdoing being done in the locker room by seniors on the football team to freshman players. Now, I don't get squeamish about a lot of different things. Maybe this is a sign that I'm getting older or not. I think I'm a very relevant person, in touch with certainly teenagers because I talk to them in schools across the nation all the time. But when I heard and read about this, it really just made me almost sick to my stomach. So seniors, to initiate and haze the freshman football players, would, on a daily basis, turn off the lights in a locker room. I imagine this is after practice. It wasn't specific. So I guess that would indicate that this was going to go down, and then howling would ensue. So imagine being in a locker room in high school. First of all, high school locker rooms are usually not the most glamorous places. They're usually pretty dark and dingy and smell like they need a really good power washing because they were built in the 1940s or 50s. And then you hear that howling, and you're like, holy, you know something's going down. And then you do know what's going down because you're on this team for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. So what the seniors do is they isolate and pick one freshman football player, throw him down to the ground. He's either naked or they strip him of his clothes. And then they stand him up and they proceed to insert one finger into that freshman football player's rectum. I can't believe I'm even uttering these words. Utterly grotesque. So this has been happening. I'm not sure if this has been happening in prior seasons, but it's definitely happening now, or happened up until Monday-ish. But this would go on a daily basis. So no one spoke up. So I just can't imagine in my wildest dreams how this could go on. I mean, it's so unspeakable. It's abysmal how this heinous act could occur. Could you imagine being a freshman and working so hard to get strong enough, fast enough, fit enough, and maybe improve your overall football acumen to make it on the team? Wow, that's great. You come home, you yell, yeah, mom, dad, whatever. I made it. Yeah, you're going to play for a great team. In a football community that is like mad crazy about the gridiron. Mad crazy. Middlesex County, I believe that is. And then to find out that either you or some of your friends that are on a team, or maybe a guy that you don't even like, a teammate, is being sexually assaulted. I'm not even going to call it bullying. I mean, that goes way beyond bullying. And this is on the heels of one of the assistant coaches, get this, being busted for steroid use or selling or having steroids on his person. You just can't make this up, man. It's unbelievable. So the superintendent, Richard Laib, canceled the football season because, as he said, this is a unspeakable situation. And it's due to a unified stance against bullying. They will not tolerate this. So there's a few issues I want to speak about. Number one, you know, I know it's very hard, and I always express this to kids across the nation when I speak to them, about speaking up when you're being bullied. And as you heard in the last segment with my guests from StopBullying.gov and SAMHSA, that it is ubiquitous, and it's so hard to stick your hand up, raise your hand and say, hey, I need help. This is what's happening to me, to contact an authority figure. But when it crosses the line of physical harm and sexual abuse, maybe that makes it even harder because you're embarrassed if it happened to you. That I understand from reading of all the cases of happening in a church situation and kids just don't say anything because they're worried about retribution and being perceived as gay. I mean, there's tons of variables and reasons why. But being in high school as a freshman, and after you join this team and you work so hard and you see and or hear this happening, you'd almost want to just run out of the hallway and yell at the top of your lungs like, holy, this is happening. Go right to the principal's office. Go to the newspapers. Send an anonymous email. Investigate this matter. This is what's going on in the locker rooms at the Memorial High School. So there's a release from the superintendent. Quote, we need all of our student athletes, all of our students, heck, all students in the state in this nation to understand that the one true way to stop bullying is for those bystanders to do the right thing and become upstanders and report to an adult or someone at an authority level of what is going on. They have a moral and ethical responsibility to prevent harm, emotional harm or physical harm, from being performed on another one of their peers by being an upstander, standing up, doing the right thing, doing the courageous thing, and going to an adult or going to a member of any authority, end quote. Again, that's from the superintendent, Richard Labe, from the Sarahville, New Jersey, War Memorial High School District. Now, a lot of people are calling in, expressing their feedback, and there's a lot of different points that we haven't got to all of them, but right now we're going to hear from Jimmy from New Jersey. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Good. How are you today, Mark?
Pretty upset and disgusted myself.
Well, yeah, being a parent myself and actually having my son play football, he's a little younger, but still he's getting into the whole thing. And being a counselor who's worked at camps with many young kids, this is something that clearly starts from above. This is a program that's great. They really have the whole Friday Night Lights vibe going here. They want to, you know, treat these athletes like they're special. So these athletes don't even realize how wrong what they're doing is. They just think that it's, hey, we're the kings of the castle type of thing, that we can do what we want. And now they destroyed a season for three teams of where probably like 90% of the kids are good kids. But unfortunately, since, you know, these coaches are like basically saying they're above the law, they're doing these stupid things that are just disgusting. And they don't realize the impact it's having on everyone around them.
Very good point, Jimmy. But back that up a little bit. But more important about the season and the future of the players, it's the health and well-being of the present players that were victimized.
Agreed.
I mean, it's unfathomable. What would you do if your son was a victim and or was a bystander, and then when this news story broke, came home to you, or you read about it, and when your son came home, what would you have said?
That's the thing. Like, being the bystander, I think, is so wrong. Like, I can't imagine myself letting my son tell me this story and not just losing my mind and saying, you know what, we're going immediately to the school, because some young kid has parents also and they don't need to worry about their son having this happen to them every day. It just shows how disgusting some things are. And again, that's the leadership from the top. These kids are dumb. I'm not saying they're not wrong, but they're just dumb kids. And if you have this football coach who's, you know, probably worried about his legacy, trying to win championships, doesn't care what's going on as long as they're winning football games, then these kids are going to do what they want and they're not going to realize how wrong it is. And, you know, it's a shame it happened to this guy, and I'm sure there's probably some girls out there that, you know, they take advantage of too, cheerleaders and stuff. That's all another topic, I know, but still, they think they're above the law, and it starts from leadership. If they don't have good coaches, good people who are showing them the right way just to learn how to play football, be leaders often on the field, it's horrible. This coach needs to go. All the adults there that were helping this football team out need to leave that team and start over fresh.
They need to be fully prosecuted, because 100%. I can't, in my wildest imagination, if I'm the coach, I'm in my office checking off my T's and dotting my I's about the practice or upcoming game. And there's typically a window. I mean, from all the gyms I went into playing sports or visiting locker rooms, why would I visit locker rooms? Where the hell did that come from? Not like I'm an architect designing schools. Okay, reverse that. The lights go out and you hear wild chanting. Actually, there was howling. So you hear this, woo, woo. Lights go out and there must be some group chant or something going on. There's no way that I would believe a coach or an assistant coach or anyone in that staff position to deny that they had no understanding of what was going on.
Exactly. Agreed. 100%. It's ridiculous that they would think that a coach who is supposed to be a leader wouldn't know what's going on in his locker room. See, that to me is just, it's just unbelievable. I know what was going on when I was a leader of a group leader in camp. I know what I'm doing when I'm there helping my child's baseball team and football team. I always see what's going on around me. Doesn't mean you don't miss a little thing here and there, but the lights going off, howling.
That's your watch, man. You can't let something like that happen. Now, let me run another scenario to you before we take another caller. What would you do? Now, you're in a position, your son made this team. This is something that you lived for. Maybe he's following your footsteps. He is just 1,000% devoted to football. He's in this school. There's not another school that you can really transfer him to, or her. Let's go with him or her, okay? Unless you actually have to physically move your house and move your family. Would you yank your son from the school program, from the football program?
if my son who's just starting football doesn't have that love yet, but if he really did have that love and there and I felt he was good
hypothetically
enough,
Jimmy.
Yeah, I would say yes. I would let him go. I would actually try to move to another neighborhood to let him continue this love. But otherwise, I would say, I'm sorry, son. It's your loss, just like the 1980 Olympics with all those Olympics who couldn't go to Russia. I'm sorry, you're losing out because of some stupid stuff that happened. I apologize.
Great parallel, Jimmy.
All right, well, it was great talking to you.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
So it's good to hear a parent's input because that's exactly how I feel. Could you imagine the embarrassment? Because now all these kids who go home to the parents are going to be drilled by their parents. Hopefully they're going to be drilled by the parents who think that this heinous physical and mental acts were performed. They would be quizzed by, did you know this was going on? Did you see this going on? Did you participate in any way? Did you hold down one of your... That's the other thing. Were the other freshmen holding them down? They probably were. It probably wasn't only seniors that were holding them down, because that would make it even more of a heinous hazing act if you were a freshman not having the act performed to you, but taking part in having the act performed to the other freshmen. That'll keep you up late at nights. That'll keep you on the therapist couch for many years to come. So there's so many layers to this. So I think as time unfolds, this is not going to be a several-week investigation. This is absolutely going to run months and months. And I imagine a lot of heads are going to roll because the coaching staff has to go. The program is going to be completely overhauled, including the athletic director. I haven't read about this person. I don't know if they have one, but I imagine a school of this caliber will. All the way up to the principal. Who knows? But then again, the head of the Rutgers University seems to be bulletproof, not to anything of this degree, mind you, not giving a parallel, an equal parallel, but they seem to be bulletproof. But something where we're dealing with teenagers, so susceptible to many, many things and to lifelong adversity and mental illness due to something like this, I just can't believe it. Talking more about why this season was canceled or the outcome, the feedback, the town is really pissed off. They feel that they should not be penalized. The rest of the team should not be penalized. Well, how do we know who to penalize and who not to penalize if the investigation just kicked off? That's the thing. I mean, if you have, I don't know how many players are on a high school team, because obviously pros and high school, I would imagine there's got to be at least 30 to 40 members on a team. I'm not sure what the rules and regs require, how many people can be dressed, how many people can be on the sidelines, obviously different regulations. But I imagine it's safely to say 25 to 30, without a doubt. So how many of these people partook? How many of these, actually, the percentage of freshmen on this team versus JV and freshmen? Who were the ringleaders? Who held the victims down? And unfortunately, fortunately, until this point, there's actually one thing I actually forgot to tell you, literally forgot to tell you, because I think subconsciously I didn't want to utter these words. But the act didn't stop there, where the freshman football player was picked up after they were stripped and held by all four limbs so a senior can come up and penetrate their rectum with a finger. It doesn't stop there. In some cases, that same finger was inserted into the player's mouth. You know, what can you say? What about being the parent of one of these varsity players who victimized these freshmen? How could you even look your kid in the eye? Are you going to always doubt that your son didn't do this? No, not my Johnny, not my Peter, not my Bobby. There's no way he could have partaken in such a grotesque act. No way. The facts have to be wrong. The investigation's erroneous. You name it, they would come up with an excuse. And really, really hope, I'm sure the prosecutors would do diligence,
that that doesn't happen, that they name somebody suspect who's innocent. But I really hope the offenders are fully prosecuted, because they really need to be psychologically evaluated. Because, listen, I understand. I went to college, hazing, you know, doing really ridiculous, borderline dangerous things. I get it. I understand. And some of those things certainly need to be reevaluated too. But you know what? You just don't violate somebody like that. What gives you the right, man? I just don't get it. And why? Certainly, if you're a senior, okay, I get it. You know, you want to do some hazing techniques. But why on this earth, in your right mind, would you ever want to physically even do that to another person, let alone use your body part to do that act? That's another reason why I would suspect they would need to be psychologically profiled. Definitely a major consultation needs to happen there. So the phone lines were lighting up. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to your calls. A little bit of a rant there. We'll continue this dialogue. And please do check out the Insight page on PRN.fm for this podcast, this show, and previous shows. As always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm so sorry if this show was a little bit of a downer today, but it's the world we live in. Check out MarkFarrellMotivation.com. That's MarkFarrellMotivation.com for this and more depressing facts. No, I'm just kidding. They're very uplifting. But if you'd like me to speak at your school or organization. Until then, my friends, I'll check you out next Thursday. Enjoy your day.